232, a sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee long as he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. 232, we'll stand as we sing together. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we do thank thee for gathering us together tonight in thy name. And Lord, we pray that thy presence will be real in our midst tonight, that we'll know the touch of God upon us and the breath of thy Holy Spirit even in our midst tonight. Lord, we ask of thee that thou wilt speak to every heart that's gathered. We pray that thou wilt remember each one, and thou dost know any who are here without Christ, that tonight will be the night of their salvation, that tonight will be that time when they will come and trust in Christ and know his saving grace and truth. We pray, O God, for the salvation of the Lord tonight. We know that thou art the answer to the sinner's need, that thou canst break the bands of sin, that thou canst loose souls from their bondage and bring them into the glorious liberty of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that liberty that is found in Christ, that in Christ alone there is freedom from every sin. There is deliverance, O God, from the bondage of evil. And there is that wonderful freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. We pray that thou wilt work tonight, that thou wilt call a people unto thyself. O God, thou art the answer. We thank thee that thou art the Savior, and thou art the Redeemer. Thou art the one that can break the chains of sin. And we pray that thou wilt break those chains in hearts and lives tonight. There'll be some soul here that will enter in to the fullness of thy great salvation. Father, we pray tonight that you remember the needs of each one. Let us know, God, those who are ill tonight and cannot be here. We pray for healing and restoration for all such at this time, that thou wilt restore them to wonted health and strength. Others who are careless in their attendance at the means of grace, that thou wilt stir their hearts again and give them interest to come and to be in the house of God in their place among the Lord's people. We pray that thou wilt stir the church of God in these days. We pray that thou wilt revive our hearts again, move across our land in our sister congregations, and everywhere the gospel is faithfully preached. May men and women, boys and girls, come to know and to trust in the Savior. Bless us tonight and do us good. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. The hymn number 227, we will stand again as we sing together. 227 in our hymn book. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming Jesus is passing this way. 227 on the page 268, we'll stand as we sing together.
Reading the Word of God tonight in the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel. The 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel. We're reading together from the verse 19. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. Let us hear the Word of God tonight. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send them to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word to all our hearts. We do bid you welcome tonight. If you're visiting, we give you a special welcome. I was expecting that there would be a bad turnout tonight, knowing that it's the final night of Mr. Murray and Cumber. And I thought, well, we're going to take a hit tonight. And certainly we have. But maybe it's not all the reason. Maybe it's because the preacher in the pulpit. But nevertheless, you're here and we rejoice that you're here tonight under the sound of the Word of God. Could I mention the meetings during the week in the will of God? Monday is the little sunbeams. It's on as usual in the morning time. There's no Awana Club with the half-term break tomorrow evening. And Tuesday night, the children's meeting as usual, 7 to 7:45. And the midweek service, the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Do remember that, please. As we lead up to the mission, we need all your prayers and your support. We trust that you will come Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. And then Friday night, the youth fellowship will be off this week with half term, but the Saturday reach will be on as usual on Saturday from 7:30 to 9:15 for year sevens upwards. And then on Friday night in our Cumber Church, the farewell service for Reverend Thomas Murray as he leaves his charge there to take up the ministry in Lurgan. Do remember that meeting. It's open to all, and you're welcome to attend that Friday night, 8 o'clock, in our Cumber Church. The service is here next Lord's Day in the will of God, 11:30 and 7. I will be here to preach the Word of God in the morning time, the Sunday school and Bible class at 10, and then the morning worship, 11:30, followed by our communion service for all who know and love the Savior, meeting around the Lord's table at the conclusion of the service next Lord's Day. And then the evening times, our family and friends night. A special testimony from former paratrooper Philip Moore. Philip's a great man of God, a great young man of God, and the Lord has delivered him, saved him, and he's an elder now in our Banbridge Church, and so he's coming to tell his story next Sunday night. Wonderful story of the grace of God. The Monteith family will be here ministering in song as well. It's also the dedication of Dale and Natasha's little daughter, Faith, at the conclusion of the service. Refreshments are in the charge of Group 3. Understand the youth fellowship are going to serve, you heard this morning, and help with that. And then there'll be a special effort by the youth fellowship, a project you heard about this morning, to provide radios for those out there in those persecuted lands. Brother Donald Fleming, the work that he's involved in. And so the retiring offering, if you can't get at night, it will be there in the morning, and there will be a supper, and of course there'll be a basket there at night as well for that purpose. If you can help with that project, your help is greatly appreciated. Do please remember next Lord's Day. And then the church week of prayer, March the 4th, Monday March the 4th to Friday March the 10th, in the will of God. And do remember, please, these meetings. It should be, I think, March the 8th. But anyway, if you want to come an extra couple of nights, you can. March the 8th. But do remember, please, the focus on the life and work of the church and the gospel mission. That will be from the 7th to the 14th of April. Do remember our Sunday summer outreaches, the Holiday Bible Club at the 1st to the 5th of July, and the sports week from the 29th of July to the 2nd of August. We'll get fuller details of these later on, of course. But do please pray for the summer outreaches. And then the school assembly this week. We're in Carrickmannan Primary School on Friday morning at 9 o'clock. Do remember the ongoing work in the school assemblies. Today is our Missionary Council retiring offerings. And do please remember that as you leave the services today. 236 is the hymn, Keeping Our Seats, and the offerings for the Lord's work is taken up. 236, out of Christ, without a Saviour, oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? 236, page 271, and we'll keep our seats for the first part as the offerings are received.
Oh,
Heavenly Father, we come tonight to pray, O God, that thou wilt meet with us in the concluding moments of our service this evening. We pray, O God, that thou wilt speak tonight. And Lord, that thou wilt work. And Lord, that thou wilt answer prayer. O God, we pray that the Spirit of God would take the word and apply it to the hearts and consciences of those in our midst. And if there are those here without Christ, that tonight will be the night of their salvation. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to take the subject tonight, God's answers to man's questions about hell. God's answers to man's questions about hell. You'll find the basis of the message in Luke chapter 16, the portion we have read from in the earlier part of the service. So many people in this world would emphatically say that they don't believe in hell. And yet the term hell is used by many so frequently. It is so much part of the world's vocabulary today. It comes up again and again in conversation. It falls from the lips of the masses day and daily. In recent times, political leaders have been referring to hell. No doubt you've picked it up along the way. One European leader said that those who wanted Brexit would have, and I quote, a special place in hell. Another academic from Queen's University, Belfast, John Brewer, said of the Brexiteers, and I quote again, hell is too good for them. These people who don't believe in hell are sending people there and telling us that hell is too good for people who hold a particular viewpoint that is different to theirs. People in swearing use the term hell. They put in hell as part of the sentences of expletive that are pouring out of their mouths so frequently. And they use that term hell so glibly and so loosely, with no thought given to it. In the next breath, many of them are saying that hell is not a real place. It is just figurative. It doesn't really exist. In fact, I was reading in the Belfast Telegraph recently an interview with Ernie Ray, who was one time head of religious broadcasting, a former minister in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Now I believe he goes to an Anglican church. But he said that God is such a God of love that hell is empty. Well, has he ever read the Bible? That would be my response to Ernie Ray. But coming from Ernie Ray, it would not surprise me what he would say, because he is a liberal. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the politicians or the philosophers or the academics or the educated men and women of the world have to say. Their thinking will fade and will flee away. And their words will be forgotten. But tonight we turn to the Word of God. That Word that endureth forever. To the truth of God. To find out exactly what is the truth in regard to hell. And we find in the Word of God the answer to all the questions that are raised about hell. And so tonight we rest our case upon the Word of God. For this, my friend, this precious book is the unchanging Word through the centuries of time. It is the timeless truth of God. And so I want to focus in the closing moments of this service upon God's Word. As we think about this subject, God's answers to man's questions about hell. Turn with me, please, to this portion that we've read from earlier in our service this evening. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. It is my prayer that tonight God will write His Word by His Spirit, His precious Word, upon your heart tonight. Three simple things that I want to focus upon tonight in the closing moments of the meeting. First of all, the reality of hell. You cannot read these verses that we have read from tonight without being faced with the reality of hell. You cannot read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation without being faced with this grim reality. You cannot read the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, without facing the reality of hell. For Jesus spoke more about hell than He did about heaven. In fact, it is said that more than 50 times the Lord Jesus Christ in His ministry upon earth warned His hearers of the reality of hell. Now, if there was no hell, why would the Lord Jesus Christ spend so much time speaking and warning people about it? I want to suggest to you tonight that hell is a real place. Look at verse 23 here. And in hell, this is the rich man, he lift up his eyes being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And here the rich man, he opened his eyes in hell. Now this is not a figure of speech. It's a real place. Let's go further down the passage to verse 28. And the rich man is appealing here to Abraham to send Lazarus to warn his brothers not to come to this place of torment. And notice the exact words that are used there. This is the rich man, for I have five brethren, that he, that's Lazarus, may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. It's an actual place of torment. And the rich man was in this place. And he didn't want his brothers to come to this place where he was. He was in this actual place. He was actually in hell when he uttered these words. He didn't imagine he was there. It wasn't a bad dream or some kind of a nightmare. No, it was real. He was in this place himself. And he was absolutely clear and without doubt in his mind that he was in hell. He had full sense of this dark and dreadful and dismal reality of being in hell. This is not fiction, friend. This is fact. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, for a moment or two. Matthew 5, a couple of verses there, in verses 29 and 30. And the Lord is teaching here. This is part of the teaching of the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, taken up there, Matthew's chapters 5 to 7. And here's part of it. Matthew 5:29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, he's speaking about the whole body of an individual being cast into hell. And he goes on. Verse 30, Matthew 5:30. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And again he's talking about the whole body being cast into hell. going over a little bit there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10 of Matthew, verse 28. Matthew 10, 28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ here is speaking, and he's talking about an actual place. He's talking about the actual place called hell. Going to Luke chapter 12, the Gospel of Luke, the third Gospel, chapter 12 of Luke, the Gospel we've read from tonight, an earlier chapter there, chapter 12 of Luke and verse 5, and we read these words, chapter 12 and verse 5. But I will forewarn you, whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The one who has power to cast into hell. An actual place. That's what the Lord's speaking about. Going back for a moment to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 23. And here, of course, the Lord, in the context of Matthew chapter 11, he's warning these cities, Chorazin and Bethesda and so forth. And he's now Capernaum, he's saying, verse 23, thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. You see, here are cities that had great privileges in that they had heard the word of God. They had heard the gospel, and yet they had rejected it. And the Lord saying that this city would be cast into hell, an actual place. Now, these are but a few verses tonight that I have brought to your attention of many that I could cite in the Gospels and the New Testament Scriptures. But these few verses lay emphasis upon the reality of the place called hell. Do not be deceived. Do not be deluded by the atheists, by the deniers of Scripture, by the apostate preachers, the false teachers and false prophets of today, who would convey to you the false notion that hell does not exist. But be absolutely certain tonight that the Bible makes it abundantly clear there is a real place called hell. Real place. Now, that's the first thing. The second thing is real people here in hell. Real people. Not only a real place, but real people. The Word of God speaks here, again going back to Luke's Gospel chapter 16 and verse 19, and says, there was a certain rich man. Now here's a real person. A certain rich man. Doesn't say that this is a parable. In certain places in the Gospels, the Lord taught by means of parable. In fact, on occasions he used the terminology, without a parable he spake not unto them. What is a parable? It is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In other words, by using an earthly story, the Lord Jesus Christ conveyed spiritual truth. But this is not a parable. This is a history. This is something historical. A certain rich man. A real person, an individual. In the clearest and most definite and unmistakable way, he declares here, the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a certain rich man. Now, if any of his hearers had inquired the name of the man and of the town in which he lived, dare we doubt our Lord's ability to have answered both questions definitively? Of course he could. For he knows all things. He knows all men and women and young people, all people. He knew this man. He knew how he had lived. He knew what had taken place after he had died. Now we do not know this man's name and never shall know it until we stand before the judgment. Yet this unnamed man stands out on the pages of Holy Scripture as a distinct personality. A certain rich man. You see similar language used concerning Lazarus, verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Similar sort of language, only in this case the actual name of the man is mentioned. And here are real people. And as it is true that real people go to heaven like Lazarus did, so it is equally true that real people like this certain rich man go to hell. Many there are who are very quick to believe that at the death of people, they go to heaven. And how often you've heard about some person who's lived a life without God and without Christ and no time for the gospel, and then people, in their ignorance, they say when they pass away, they say, oh, it's better for them. Well, it's not better for them if they died in their sin. It would have been better for them if they'd lived on and trusted Christ. It's not better for them if they died without Christ. It's not better for any person. But there are people who have everybody into heaven, and many preachers too, sad to relate, have people in the front row of heaven who lived their lives. And on occasions, I have gone to funerals and I have said to people, even from our own congregation here, was that the man or was that the woman I knew? And I heard the preacher talking about them. They certainly didn't relate to the person I knew. Few want to contemplate this as a fact that there are real people in hell. But I want to tell you, friend, because people don't want to contemplate it, doesn't change the fact of it. Doesn't change the reality of it. Real people in hell. And this man, this rich man, he's in hell. He's in hell. Now, people don't like that word hell. And people have said to me, you shouldn't use that word hell. Well, it's in the Bible, friend. Do you want me to tear that page out of the Bible? Do you want me to tear all those references out? Like a wee woman, and she was being visited by her minister at the end of her life, and the minister said, I want to read you the Bible. He hadn't even a Bible with him. He said, give me the Bible. And she gave him the Bible. And it was all cut up. He says, I couldn't read from that Bible. That verse is cut out. And that other page is torn out. Oh, she said, Your Reverence, she said, when I listened to you preach, you said, oh, don't believe that verse. Take that verse out. Don't believe that part of the Bible. She said, so I tore them all out. And friend, hell's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's there. You can read it. You can read it for yourself. A real place, real people, real punishment. That's the third thing here. Look at verses 23 and 24 and 25 and 28. In this passage, it's emphasized and re-emphasized. In hell, this is a rich man. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Now, he wasn't having a good time, wasn't enjoying himself, wasn't having a party. No, he wasn't. Look at verse 24. He cried. And said, he's crying in hell. He says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. He wasn't enjoying himself. He was tormented in this flame. Look at verse 25. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. In other words, material things. Likewise, Lazarus, evil things. He had nothing as far as the world was concerned. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. So Abraham is affirming the fact that this man is now being tormented in hell. Look at verse 28. For I have five brethren. This man is talking now to Abraham, this rich man. He's talking from hell to Abraham, where Abraham is in the presence of the Lord. He says, I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. Now here's clear language being used. You don't need me to explain it tonight. He wasn't imagining it. It was real pain. He was enduring real punishment. It was real fire. He was suffering in hell. Not only did the rich man experience this, but Abraham saw that he was suffering there. And the word torments and tormented and torment are used here. to emphasize that this man was receiving punishment in hell. Look at verse 24. He cried out to Abraham in the midst of his agony and anguish. He wanted even a drop of water, as little as Lazarus could put in the tip of his finger. Can you imagine that? How much water could you put in the tip of your finger? A wee drop of water. He said, I would put, if you could get Lazarus to come and put that on my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. It was fire, it was real fire, it was hell fire. This man was enduring. The Puritan Thomas Brooks said this, and I quote, could every damned sinner weep a whole ocean, and yet all those oceans together would never extinguish one spark of eternal fire. There is not one spark of eternal fire that can be extinguished. This is divine punishment, you see, upon the sinner who rejects Christ, the sinner who dies in their sin, the sinner who refuses God's salvation, who rebels against the gospel, who tramples underfoot the precious blood of Christ. In the Bible, in Mark chapter 9, if you check it out for yourself, you will discover that there are three occasions there where hell is described. Mark 9, verses 43, 45, and 48. It's described as the fire that never shall be quenched. Now, what warnings are these of what awaits those who will not come to Christ, who will not accept this so great salvation? And friend, be warned tonight, if you're not saved in this meeting, be warned. It doesn't matter if you've come to church all your life, and it doesn't matter if you've never come to church very often. If you're not saved, friend, hell awaits you. And be warned tonight to flee from it. Oh, I urge you tonight, in God's name, flee from it. The reality of hell. That's the first thing. But the second thing I want to come to is the recollection of those in hell. Look at verse 25 here. Some remember. And this rich man had not only the sense of feeling and sight in hell, but he had also that of memory and speech and hearing. And Abraham said to him, son, remember. And what a terrible thing memory will be for the unsaved. To remember throughout all eternity every sin that you've committed and every sin that has been unrepented of. And therefore unforgiven. To remember every opportunity to get right with God, which has been carelessly passed by. To remember every gospel message that you've heard and yet you've refused to believe. Memory will indeed be as the worm that dieth not, tormenting the soul forever. And this man had a memory that would haunt him forever. And so will you, my friend, if you die without Christ, without having experienced his so great salvation. Son, remember, thundered Abraham to this man, the rich man. All of the wasted years of his life rose up before him. He saw himself as a boy. He saw himself as a teen. He saw himself as a young man. And finally, he saw himself as a hardened old sinner, despising Lazarus, the poor man who had only the dogs for his friends at his gate. And he was lying there full of sores. And how terrible will be the moment for each sinner before that throne of judgment when God awakens his memory. And remember his sins. Remember his pride, his wickedness, his bitterness against God, his opportunities to deceive. And friend, you'll remember the gospel services in this church, that you've sat and listened to God's word, and yet you've rejected Christ. For decades of time, some of you. And you will recall when the call of the gospel was made to your soul, but you rejected it. And you turned a deaf ear to the message. And you walked out of meeting after meeting, week after week, month after month, and year after year. And some of you too will remember the Sunday school. And remember the Sunday school teacher that taught you the way of salvation. and the children's meeting and the youth fellowship and other meetings where you heard the gospel invitation. And all of those opportunities you will recall. And all of those offers of salvation made to you, you will remember. And all those open doors that you could have entered in to embrace Christ and trust Him as your Savior. And you'll remember others too who got saved, and others around you who came to Christ in repentance and in faith. But you stubbornly refused and willfully rejected God's gracious offer of salvation. Some of you too will remember your godly upbringing. The good example of parents or grandparents who brought before you the gospel, who taught you from your earliest days the simple truths of salvation. A recollection, too, of those who witnessed to you and told you plainly the way of salvation. Preachers who preached the word in your hearing. Gospel tracts that were put into your hand. You were spoken to in the time of sickness and when sorrow came through the pathway of your life. And all of the words and all of the warnings have gone unheeded. And the soul dies without Christ and without hope. And in hell, their memory is awakened as never before. Oh, the awfulness of this. The terror of this. To die without Christ. Lose your soul, my friend, in hell. Oh, I urge you not to do it, friend. I urge you tonight not to do it. Don't step over the deadline tonight. Come to Christ. You know, J.C. Ryle, the great English preacher, he said this, and I quote, "The saddest road to hell is that which runs under the pulpit and past the Bible and through the midst of warnings and invitations." And friend, that's the road you've gone. You've gone past the pulpit, past the Bible, and all the warnings and invitations have been given to you. It was so for this rich man, and it is so for multitudes of others also. Hell is an abiding place, but no resting place. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said, "Hell is an abiding place, but no resting place." But I want to finish with these words tonight. Not only is it the reality of hell, the recollections of this man in hell, but there's a remedy that will save you from hell. Thank God tonight we're not preaching a hopeless message, but there's a remedy in the gospel tonight. And Lazarus here had received a remedy, poor in life but rich in death and in eternity. While the rich man was clothed in his finery, he was in rags. While the rich man fared sumptuously, he desired, the Bible tells us in verse 21 here of Luke 16, the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. But the Bible tells us in death, Lazarus was carried by the angels, the messengers of God. He was carried into Abraham's bosom, carried into paradise, into the presence of the Lord. Verse 22, and he was brought to the place of eternal rest. What a prospect there is for all who die in Christ. That eternal rest is the portion of all who are saved. Oh, I've seen many people die, friend. I've stood at more deathbeds than I care to even think about over the years. 40 years preaching the Word of God, I've stood at so many deathbeds. And no doubt, if God spares me, I will stand at many more. But friend, I tell you, there's a prospect for God's people. The old Wesley said, God's people die well. And so they do. They die well. The Bible says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. The Bible says in Revelation 14:13, they rest from their labors. And here's Lazarus, the poor man, the destitute man as far as the world is concerned, but he was the delivered man. And he rested in heaven. He was carried. But the Bible says he was also comforted. Look at verse 25. Now he is comforted. Lazarus is comforted. What was the comfort Lazarus had? He was in the presence of the Lord, his Savior. The comfort of that everlasting provision in heaven. He was not only carried, he was comforted, but he was catered for. He had now that provision in heaven forever. He was sitting down at the Lord's table forever. What a comfort this was to Lazarus. It stands in stark contrast to the rich man whom we've already noted tonight. He was tormented for all eternity. You see, Lazarus had received the remedy. And oh, my friend, tonight, if you will only receive the remedy that is found in the gospel of Christ and found in his so great salvation, then, my friend, you will escape hell. Glory to God, you will. You can do it tonight. What is that remedy that saves the soul from hell? It is the remedy of repentance. For the Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And by repenting of our sins, we will not perish. We will have everlasting life, as Lazarus had. Will you repent of your sin? What does it mean to repent? It means to turn your back upon your sin. It means to forsake your sin utterly. Will you forsake your sin tonight? Faith in Christ is absolutely essential too. And repentance and faith go together. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And these two must go together. They are inseparably linked in Scripture. Faith is that vital ingredient without which you cannot be saved. A saving faith in Christ is absolutely essential in order for your soul to be saved. Without it you will be lost. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But then, there's not only repentance and faith, but there is receiving Christ. The Bible says, but to as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, or the right or the authority to become the sons of God. Will you let Christ into your life tonight? Will you receive him? The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. The hymn writer penned those words, swing the heart's door widely open, bid him enter while you may. Oh, there's the remedy, repentance, receiving Christ. But then there's redemption through his blood. Oh, my friend, you need to get to the cross. To get to the cross. It's only at the cross that your sins can be washed away. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The precious blood of Jesus is the remedy for every sinner. For every sin. The sinner must wash and be cleansed from every sin if at the last to enter into heaven. For friend, naught that defileth will enter in. There's no sinners unwashed in heaven. There's only sinners washed and cleansed in the blood in heaven. Many are baptized, but water cannot wash away their sin. Many are confirmed. But confirmation cannot wash away their sin. Many have come to communion, but communion cannot take away their sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God's answers to man's questions about hell. Friend, where are the answers? Are the answers in Brussels? Are the answers in Queen's University or some other academic institution? Are the answers among the philosophers of this world or some TV show? No, the answers are all in the book, friend. God's precious word. Read it. Listen to its message. Heed its word. The answers are in the word of God, nowhere else. And the Bible says to you tonight, ere you leave this service, escape for thy life, lest thou be consumed. Escape to Christ now and be saved. And thank God you can be saved tonight. Many of us have testified or could testify to that effect that we have been saved. We rejoice in that. Oh, the reality of hell. They can deny it all they want, but it doesn't change it. It's there in the book, friend. And I urge you tonight to come to the Savior to be saved. Oh, come now.
without delay and trust in Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, indelibly write upon the fleshy tables of every heart the truth of thy precious word. We pray that thou wilt bring precious souls tonight to know Christ and to trust in him as their own and personal Savior. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. Our closing hymn tonight is hymn number 279, 279 in our hymn book. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While in others thou art calling, do not pass me by. 279 on page 289, we'll stand after the introduction and sing together. Concerned or troubled about your soul, do please and wait behind as others go. We'd be glad to point you to the one who can meet your need tonight, even the Lord Jesus Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.